Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Nutrition Diva podcast. I'm your host, Monica Reinagel, and this week we're talking about bloating. This is something that affects just about all of us at one time or another, but for some people, bloating can cause near daily distress. Today we've got some tips for you on how to beat the bloat. Joining me in the Quick and Dirty Tips studios today is registered dietitian and digestive specialist Tamara Duker-Freuman. Tamara has a new book out called The Bloated Belly Whisperer. It's coming out next week. And despite the somewhat whimsical title, I think that this is one of the most useful and necessary nutrition books I've seen all year. Welcome to the podcast, Tamara.
Thanks for having me.
And congratulations on this wonderful book.
Thank you.
So I hear from people all the time who suffer from bloating, and they want to know what they should be eating or what they should be avoiding in order to avoid it. One time, I even had a bridal magazine call me for an interview, and they wanted some tips on what the brides should eat the week before they got married so they wouldn't be bloated on the big day. And of course, you see all kinds of magazine and internet stories with hints on foods to prevent bloating. The problem, though, is that bloating isn't just one thing. We use that word to describe a lot of different symptoms and sensations, which could be caused by a wide range of different things. And what I love about this book, Tamara, is that you break this all down and talk about all the different things that might fall into this category. And you even have a quiz that can help us figure out what might be causing our bloating. Because getting relief really depends on matching the cure to the cause. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And I think your point about magazine articles looking for, you know, quick and dirty tips about how to beat bloating really can't capture how nuanced it is and how individualized the problem is. And until you really know what is causing it, there's no way you're going to know how to treat it with diet.
You could waste a lot of time running down trails that aren't actually leading you to a solution if you don't have the right cause in mind.
Yeah, and beyond that, you could make things worse.
Well, the first thing that I learned in your book is that you have to figure out whether the bloating is in the upper part of the digestive tract, in the stomach, or maybe further along in the intestines.
Absolutely. And so I think a lot of people that I encounter in my practice will use the term stomach as a catch-all to refer to their digestive tract. And they say, I have stomach problems or I have a sensitive stomach. And what they're really meaning is that their gut, their intestine, isn't tolerating something. And so first of all, we have to really understand just geographically where in the digestive tract the problem originates, because, again, the solution for a problem that originates in the stomach is going to be really different than the solution for a problem that originates in the intestines.
So you have developed this diagnostic quiz, which wouldn't replace the need to talk to a nutrition professional or a medical professional, but it can really be an important first step. And that's going to be available on your website next week when the book publishes on December 24th. And the website is?
The Bloated Belly Whisperer.
Isn't that a great title for a book?
Yeah, it flows.
So you can walk yourself through this quiz and start to narrow down some of the symptoms or some of the foods that might be causing problems and start to zero in. Now, I would imagine it's not uncommon for people to suffer more than one different type of bloating at different times. So maybe part of it is just distinguishing today what type of bloating might I be experiencing?
Yeah, for sure. And also one thing that I talk about in the book is that there's certain bloating combinations. And so sometimes a problem that will affect one part of the digestive tract will affect all of the digestive tract. And a great example of that is slow motility. And so some people are afflicted with a slow to empty stomach. Some people are afflicted with just a slow-to-move-along colon, and so they might find themselves constipated. But some people will have slowness globally throughout the digestive tract, and so they will have some symptoms that are upper GI in nature from the slow stomach, and they'll have some symptoms that are lower GI in nature. And so, you know, these are not all mutually exclusive. Sometimes mm-hmm. they can couple, and sometimes they can be part of the same underlying phenomenon, and sometimes they can be completely separate phenomena. And so it might take a few different approaches until you really comprehensively nail the solution.
That's right, which is why these one-size-fits-all tips are not always going to be a good solution for people. I think people get really frustrated when they feel like they've tried everything and nothing's worked. Now, some of the types of bloating, you actually have 10 common causes of bloating that you outline in your book, and some of them really are not about diet at all or can't necessarily be addressed with dietary adjustments like aerophagia.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think that there's this very common assumption that if I'm bloated, if there's a problem in my digestive tract, it must be something I'm eating. And that leads to these default solutions about elimination diets. Okay, what should I cut? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll try gluten. Maybe I'll try dairy. And as you correctly note in the book, I talk about several problems that have nothing to do with diet that me as a dietitian can't really give you a strong dietary recommendation for. But what I can do is help you understand that foods that you have eliminated were probably unnecessary. And so you don't need to suffer these really rigid, restrictive diets to get your problem under control. For certain things, it might be about a lifestyle change, a medical intervention. I just think that understanding the cause, knowledge is power.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's true beyond just the world of digestive disorders. I think sometimes we think that nutrition can be the solution to every health and medical problem. And sometimes it's important to remember that sometimes medical or even pharmaceutical intervention is really the best track. But, of course, it's always worth looking to see whether diet and lifestyle adjustments can help and can make a difference. If you want to see real change, you need to be consistent, and hair care is no exception. Vegamore makes sticking to your hair care routine easy so that you can actually see the results you've always wanted. With a monthly subscription of their Grow Hair Serum, you'll never run low on the products that you need, plus it saves you money. For best results, you want to use this for at least 3 months to see visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. I'm only on month 2, but the routine is super simple, and I like the way my hair is looking. I also appreciate that Vegamore products are free of harsh chemicals and are also 100% cruelty-free. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. And for a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/diva and then use the code DIVA at checkout. That's VEGAMOUR.com/diva and the code DIVA to save 20% on your first order.
It's time to breathe easier this allergy season with Breathe Right Nasal Strips. With instant nasal congestion relief for up to 12 hours, you can spend your time on your terms, not on your noses. Stuffy nose from outdoor allergens? No problem. We got you. Allergy season just turned into stripping season. Instant relief from nasal congestion anytime, anywhere. Need more convincing? Click the banner below and get a free sample. Breathe Right. Get your strip on. Use as directed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
I'm here with Tamara Duker-Freuman. She's the author of a new book, The Bloated Belly Whisperer. If you have ever suffered from any kind of bloating, you need to put this on your to-read list. It's one of the best books I've read all year. So helpful. Tamara, I want you to talk to us a little bit about fiber. Fiber is something that we hear so much about. It's supposed to be the solution to all of our problems. And yet for some people who suffer from different kinds of bloating, which can be a lot of different things, fiber may actually be part of the problem. How do we know?
So yeah, so fiber is really complicated. Fiber has a lot of different attributes. And so we'll start there. What is fiber? It is something that is from a plant that our bodies as humans cannot break down. That is the definition of fiber. We can't break it down. So it stays pretty much intact in our digestive tract, and it affects our digestive function. We have this tendency to think of fiber, oh, that's what you need when you're constipated because it helps you go. That's not always the case. So certain types of fiber definitely will help you go. But sometimes people who are prone to going too much or like diarrhea can benefit from types of fiber that can slow you down and hold on to water and form a stool. And so fiber can either speed you up and it can slow you down. For some people, maybe who have muscles in their pelvic floor, which is sort of lower abdomen, that don't function properly, they might find that they're unable to pass fiber and pass their stool well when there's too much of it. And so some people who are really constipated for that particular reason may find that a high fiber diet will make their constipation worse, not better, until they kind of fix the underlying muscle dysfunction. Some people will have a lot of fiber in an attempt to become more regular and become less bloated, only to choose the types of fiber that are the exactly most gas-producing types of fiber out there on the market, and will find themselves even more bloated as the result of a high-fiber diet. So as is the bigger message of this book, which is you need to tailor a fiber solution to your problem. More is not always better. Sometimes more is better. And even within the world of fiber, to be thoughtful about which fibers from which foods. And again, I go into a lot of detail about it because it's complicated.
Well, one of the most helpful things in your book was the chart that you have for the different kinds of fiber, which are higher in soluble fiber, insoluble fiber. That's something that we've talked about on the podcast a lot before, which type of fiber does what. But then you add to that the dimension of the fibers that are more and less fermentable. Talk to us a little bit about fermentable fibers and how they may contribute to bloating.
Right. So fermentable basically means that bacteria can ferment them. Bacteria can digest these types of fibers.
And that can be a good thing, right? When we're talking about beneficial bacteria in the gut.
From an objective health standpoint, fermentable fibers are very health promoting. They produce a healthy, diverse, robust ecosystem of bacteria in our gut. Those bacteria produce a lot of byproducts when they break down the fiber that are protective in terms of colon cancer risk and all sorts of great stuff. So objectively speaking, that is a healthy thing to be going on. But if you are someone who struggles with a ton of gas pain and bloating and it's just a huge misery in your life, more fermentable fiber isn't going to be good for your quality of life. And so this idea that different fibers are more and less fermentable can be a really powerful tool in your toolkit to understand, if I want to be less gassy, which food should I really be looking to minimize and what other foods are less fermentable that I can replace them with?
So it doesn't mean that we all have to go on a low-fiber diet, just be a little bit more discerning about which sources of fiber we're choosing.
Absolutely. A lot of people who, you know, suffer maybe from too much gas or even from diarrhea, their automatic default is to go on an overtly low-fiber diet and just like white rice and, you know, clear chicken broth and no fiber at all. But I think that there's probably, for most people, a really healthy middle ground, which is to choose the types of fiber that aren't going to aggravate your bloating. So you can still get all the health benefits from fiber, but in a way that isn't going to aggravate you.
That's great advice. Now, I know if my listeners were here in the studio, I know what question they would want me to ask you. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you, what is your position on a probiotic supplement? You knew that was coming, didn't you?
Absolutely. It's probably the number one question I get. So it's complicated. I am fully on board with this idea that the gut microbiota, the community of bacteria in our guts, is probably holds the key to all sorts of health mysteries that we don't even understand how important it is, and we think it's already pretty important. So I have no dispute with this idea that gut health and a thriving, teeming community of critters is in our best interest. But I think with commercial probiotic supplements, there's a lot of putting the cart before the horse. And there's this idea that because we know we're supposed to have a healthy community of bacteria. I'm going to stick some bacteria in a pill, this random species and strain that I was able to culture in a lab. I'm going to put it on a shelf and you're going to take it and you're going to be less bloated or be more regular or, you know, have a better immune system. And I think that there are probably 10 years worth of research between those two steps that we're not even sure whether the probiotics that we take can even colonize the gut. And it's not really clear that within this community that is so unique and so individual, that literally consists of tens and thousands of different species and strains, that this random one species and strain that some company was able to culture, you add that to this enormous and diverse community, and it's going to have some sort of outsized, miraculous health benefit. So I'm not really on board with, you know, most commercial probiotics being any kind of quick fix for the types of issues that I see in my practice.
Well, it's always very reassuring when somebody as smart as you agrees with me. So I like your answer to that question. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us today. I know that this topic is going to be of great interest to the listeners. The book is called The Bloated Belly Whisper. It's going to be in stores, both brick and mortar and online, on December 24th. And in the meantime, you can learn more at the website for the book, which is thebloatedbellywhisperer.com. And of course, we'll have links to that and to Tamara's social media channels on our show notes at quickanddirtytips.com. Thanks again, Tamara. It was wonderful talking with you.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for listening.
The Nutrition Diva podcast is produced by Nathan Semmes. Our recording engineer today was Ethan Donaldson. Our editor is Joe Muscolino. And our social media and community manager is Morgan Ratner. And speaking of social media, I'd love to connect with you there. You'll find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nutrition Diva.
It's time to breathe easier this allergy season with Breathe Right Nasal Strips. With instant nasal congestion relief for up to 12 hours, you can spend your time on your terms, not on your noses. Stuffy nose from outdoor allergens? No problem. We got you. Allergy season just turned into stripping season. Instant relief from nasal congestion anytime, anywhere. Need more convincing? Click the banner below and get a free sample. Breathe Right. Get your strip on. Use as directed.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.